And welcome. This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. I'm Jim Burke. I'm here with my co-host, John Morrow. Hi, John.
I was just keeping you honest.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it is true. I could vouch for me being here and that you were Jim.
We are here, and we are here. And why are we here, John?
Well, that's a really good existential lead-in to just about any statement, but I will take the opportunity to introduce Emily Bufford from our library team, who's the youth programs manager, and we're going to talk about summer reading today on the program. So welcome, Emily.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I should say welcome back, because you've done the Zoom version before as well.
Yes, it's exciting to be in the studio today.
It's great to have you.
Lots of equipment here. It can be intimidating at first, but it's really just...
But you got this. I believe in you, Jim.
This time, I've got it, John. I turned all the microphones on this time. How's that?
It's good. Yeah, well, I'm sure if there are questions and things that have come up on email, we could address those too. But yes. I think first...
And by the way, that is DJ at KPTZ. Z.org, in case anybody's listening and they want to ask a question of me, John Morrow, or of Emily Bufford of the Port Townsend Library.
Yes. So, summer reading. I am so glad that it's summer for lots of reasons. And one of those reasons is summer reading. And I'm looking at Emily's shirt, and designed in-house by staff. And I'm thinking about the program. I'm thinking, Emily, what is going on with... What is summer reading? And let's talk about how people can get involved.
Great, yeah. So this is really exciting because I've just spent the past week and a half going to the schools, doing the same thing, talking about summer reading, getting the kids really excited. So the way the program works is from June 1st, which is today, to August 31st. Reading that you do, and any reading counts. So this is if you're reading a comic book or a graphic novel or listening to an audiobook.
That's very flexible.
Yes. It's we nice. Like fun reading. Mm-hmm. And so all reading counts. And for the kids and teens, if they read 10 hours this summer, they can come into the library and get a free book. So we're really excited about that.
Cool. What titles do they have to choose from in the free book category? Or is it a particular book?
I have a ton of different choices because the great thing about summer reading is it's based off of interest-based learning. Okay. So we're trying to support what the kids are really excited about. So I tried to get a wide range of popular titles. So we've got like the Amulet series. Uh-huh. We've got Heartstopper. But we also have like some nonfiction titles and some fantasy. So there's pretty much something for everybody.
Even and things maybe that they haven't read because they'll be reading all summer.
Yes.
I feel like I always plug my daughter, which is a shameless dad thing. But first off, I think she might have already read everything about banana slugs already. So just a hot tip on any new possible opportunities there. But also, she said to me last night, Dad, who's that person at the library who came and got really excited about summer reading program? I said, oh, it's Emily. So you speak the truth when you say you've gone into the schools, you've talked with the kids, and they've taken away a, wow, I want to be involved, and my daughter's one of them. So thank you.
That's great. That's so great to hear, because that's one of my favorite things to do is go in and build those relationships and hopefully bring them back to the library. And I've just been telling the kids, you know, it's so great to see you at the school. And I hope this summer that you're going to come see me at the public library, because so the school library is actually they stopped taking books back June 1st. And so wow. It segues really well into the program at the public library.
That's excellent. I noticed your shirt says find your voice at your library. I just want to ask or point out, I mean, any book has a voice, right? The voice of the narrator, the voice of the characters. Have you gotten any feedback from kids in terms of what kind of voices they like to hear or that they relate to in terms of what they read?
So I think that it's a wide range of things. Mm-hmm. I asked all of the elementary students to tell me the different books that they liked, and it was really great just hearing the wide range of titles that came up with that. And that's great because it ties into, finding your voice, self-expression. Mm-hmm. Find your voice is actually the national theme. So lots of libraries are doing that this summer. Okay. And then in designing the t-shirt, Paige Wincoop, who is a Port Townsend Library staff member, and she designed the t-shirt this year, which by the way, for teens and kids, they get the t-shirt at 50 hours. And wow. For adults, So adults can do the program too, but they have to read 100.
Wow.
So that's bigger challenge.
That's a lot of time on the beach.
Yeah.
Reading. So, wow. So that's what Paige Wincoop is her name. So yeah. She works at the library and her name is Paige. That's great.
Yeah. Very appropriate.
Yes. Yes. Very good. And it's a great shirt. It really
is. She spent a lot of time designing. She was very intentional about thinking about diversity, equity, inclusion. The design features the word welcome in a wide range of different languages. And our director, Melody, told me this wonderful story about a family who'd come in and asked about the t-shirt, and they saw the design, and they immediately, I think that their first language was Japanese, and they immediately found the word welcome in Japanese, and just that was so touching and moving for them.
Aw, that's awesome.
Now, does the library also have, I mean, I assume, books in Japanese and books in other languages from around the world?
We do, and we're hoping to continue to develop that based on the requests of patrons too. So if patrons come in and ask for a title in a certain area, we're going to help fill that need.
I noticed that. I talked to the librarian over there a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been to the library for the last 3 years for obvious reasons. So I finally got in there in the last few months, and I said, I'm curious about this book. Do you have it? I noticed you've got a lot of other books by this author on the shelf. And she said, no, we don't have that one yet, but we'll just order it. And I go, well, no, don't order it just for me. And she goes, no, that's the point. If you want to read it, we're going to bring it in.
I love the idea of welcome for those who, we welcome all people into the door, but also that there's the physical library, and for a better, like no better way of saying it, there's like the metaphysical library,
right?
Where, you know, not only do does a team, you know, are they able and very excited and willing to order and find volumes, but to tap into the whole Clio system, which is kind of a collaborative across the county. And then there's a variety of things that are not physical materials that, you know, that, so maybe Emily, can you just, in a way to entice people to participate, and including audiobooks, what are the limits on what people can find at the library? Or maybe you can explain how wide opportunities exist.
Well, and that's one of my favorite things about working at the desk, and having the opportunity to connect with a wide range of community members, because, yeah, our point is that we're hoping to connect you to the resources that you need, whatever those might be. And you get such a wide range of questions. So we deal with like physical material, but we also get questions about like locating, gosh, there's just like so much, you know, like what, whether it's like ads on Craigslist or like, tell me how these headphones work, or, you know, so your librarians are like going to find you the information that you need on those wide range of topics. And then one of my favorite parts of my job too, this is my first time being responsible for collection development, so purchasing materials for kids and teens.
Awesome.
And I've been really excited to expand some of the offerings that we've got. So I added comic books. So we've got Avengers and the Miles Morales. We just added Nintendo Switch games.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just been really fun seeing kind of a wide range of offerings that fit the diverse needs of our community.
I love it. And it's such a great gathering place, and also a gathering mechanism to information. And you can literally go there and listen to a community read author and eat cornbread. You can check out a bear canister or an instrument, or you could read to your child or have your child read to a dog. I mean, these are all things that are available at our library.
Bear canister?
Yeah, I've done it many times, I must admit.
Is it like to keep bears out of your food when you camp?
When you're camping, you could basically rent one for free at our local library.
Wow, that's amazing.
There's all sorts of unusual items that are in the catalog, which is great. I mean, isn't it? One of the points is access, and lowering the barrier to access to things that we all use, and then sharing collectively and how to pay for them. So, hence, free.
That's amazing. I did find the limit, though. Steve Martin co-wrote an audiobook with a man from, I think it's, his last name is Gopnik. I can't remember his first name, but he writes for The New Yorker. And I guess he's been interviewing Steve Martin over the year for like 30 years now. And they recorded a whole bunch of conversations and they made it into this audiobook. And it's only available through Amazon Prime or Amazon, maybe it's Audible. I'm not sure which, but in either case, I couldn't get the audiobook from our library. I thought, well, maybe in time. I mean, it just got released, so maybe in time it'll be available. But I know that bookstores, large and small, are still trying to make sure that they can sell books and sell audiobooks and sell all kinds of things to keep afloat, to keep going. Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about Amazon. I think they're going to do okay.
Yeah, I'm not either. But, I mean, but maybe even just switching that around, and not to totally freeform here, but just thinking about how the library and programming that people like Emily are responsible for and lead, you know, for instance, their community read actually works with local businesses here and local bookstores
writing Sweetgrass
to provide, you know, to provide copies of the book, and actually, you know, helps bring people in the door to our local retail here. So I mean, there's some symbiotic relationships that our library actually adds value to our local offering here,
especially independent bookstores. Very
and,
good.
And just to add on to that, a lot of the presenters and performers that we look at for the summer are local artists as well. So we're bringing in a local cookie decorator to do a kids programming this summer. Our Dungeons and Dragons DM is local. So we really try to look for local talent and highlight that when we're doing summer programming.
You had me at cookie decorating. I think I probably need to go to that one.
That's one of my programs I'm very excited about.
It feels like a Christmas thing too, though. But you could decorate cookies all year round.
Cookies are a 365 and a quarter day a year thing.
I found that I've really indulged in cookies a lot over this winter. You know, whenever I was feeling down, it's like, oh, a chocolate cookie. I'll feel better after I have this.
I think, you know, the library, maybe the metaphor is that they provide all sorts of cookies for everybody to both decorate, consume, and they make you healthy. So come to the library and enjoy a cookie.
Okay. When is the cookie program, by the way?
I have that with me. Let's see.
We'll just talk amongst
cookie
ourselves.
Cookie decorating.
There we go.
July 6th.
July
6th. Yeah, that's for ages 7 to 12.
Oh, nuts.
So, unfortunately, not one for you, but there is
your daughter.
I mean, is it act as that age or actually have to show proof of age?
No, we know, John, that both you and I could pass for 12-year-olds, but we really can't.
Just roll the previous tapes of this wonderful family-friendly show.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. By the way, I'm not getting any email here. It's very upsetting. DJ at kptz.org, folks. This is KPTZ in Port Townsend. We're speaking with Emily Bufford of the Port Townsend Library, talking about the summer reading program. And we're also I'm also talking with my co-host, John Morrow, city manager of Port Townsend.
People are busy right now getting the start on day one of the community or the summer reading.
Oh, is that it? Because it's June 1st?
It's June 1st.
Right.
Let's just remind people, where did you go to learn more, Emily?
To our website. Hey. So if you go to programs and then under the summer reading program, we've got a full listing of all our programs. And my contact information is on the website as well. So you can always reach out to me, call me, email me. One program that I really want to highlight before we finish is our summer reading kickoff party. And this is for all ages. So the whole family, kids, teens, adults. And this is going to be happening on Saturday, June 24th. And it's going to be super fun. We're going to have the Unexpected Brass Band. We are going to have free mini cupcakes and lawn games and bubbles. And all of these programs are made possible through the support of the Friends of the Library. So I just want to give them a huge, big shout out.
Thank you, friends.
Is that all day or just in the afternoon on the 24th? Or
it's at 1 p.m. Thank you for asking.
Sure, of course. No, I'm doing something that day, but not until the evening, so I can join in. I like mini cupcakes. Don't you, John?
Yeah, of course.
Nice.
I like many cupcakes.
Many cupcakes.
Yes.
It's
But I mean, if you like cupcakes, great. But if you like bubbles, great. But if you like brass bands that are usually expected, but also somewhat unexpected. I
love
mean,
the fact that they're very often, whenever I hear them mentioned, I go, I didn't expect that. And yet I did.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected.
Hey, there you go.
That's right. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, but that's another story.
But I love that. I love that, you know, trying to grab people's attention with a little bit of magic and a little bit of food, a little bit of music, reading, and just kind of community gathering too, because it's a fantastic space. I mean, just the library itself.
It is.
It's not just to look for reference books. It's a place for people to actually gather, for programming to happen, for people to find what they need, to get some advice, to talk to the lovely staff who have all sorts of great ideas who can cut through the morass of misinformation and actually help you find information. So,
what?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm just saying that, you know, go back to when you were a bit younger, Jim.
Yes.
And when you were, say, writing a report or trying to find information, mm-hmm. you go to your library, go to a card catalog or something like it.
I remember that.
You
with go actual paper.
Dewey Decimal, you'd rock up to whatever the Dewey Decimal number was and you'd figure out what you need. I mean, these days, the library isn't just a physical place. I mean, you know, there's online resources and a whole host of other things. And dare I say, some of it's not true. And, you know, I think part of the great talent skill set of librarians and the team that we have is they will help guide you and navigate through the challenges of finding the real information you're after in a sea of things that might look like real but aren't.
Right. Thanks to Google. Mm. The things that get repeated the most get bubble up to the top.
I've heard that things get repeated most bubble up to the top. That's what I've heard.
You just heard that, John.
Did you want to, I mean, not to put you on the spot, Emily, but, you know, as a core function of the library, you know, it's almost, there's a magic and a dazzle and a program and an inspiration, but also a navigation role.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I know that when we shifted from the card catalog to the computer systems, there were a lot of questions of whether the library was still going to be relevant in like this age. And I would say it is more relevant than ever, where you have this phenomena of information overload. There's so much information out there. And then that essential role of helping navigate and go, what resources are going to best serve you in your given circumstances, and how do you locate those? So the library is a really great place to start, and connecting with the staff there, because they have the talent and ability to help guide you through the resources that you need.
Because if you have a library degree or if you work in a library, you're sort of an expert at research.
Locating and helping, connecting.
Locating and finding things that you need to learn about things.
This isn't just like pull up the relevant, you know, S World Book Encyclopedia, and there you will find your information about snakes or stardust. I mean, this is like...
Although you could start there.
You could, absolutely.
Certainly.
I wish I had.
I mean, I think snakes in the World Book, I would trust their writing about it better than I would some random thing
absolutely.
From the internet.
Absolutely.
Or, you know... I won't start.
There's also magic. I mean, I don't want to down. I'm not trying to bag new ways of learning. I think I think Emily put it really well. I mean, there's lots of magic and awesome information also on the internet, but there's just so much of it, and so much added every day. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to find what you're looking for. So, yeah, a little help, little helping hand there from the library team is always a way to get there.
Right, and nowadays we have the entire internet and everything on our phones with us all the time. I know I'm a sucker for that. Mm. It's like, oh, news. Oh, what can I get incensed about today, John?
Well, I can give you some options. I can give you some options.
No, I don't want to be incensed today. It's a great day. It's sunny. Mm. I am doing a blues show, though, for 2 hours starting at 1 o'clock. I'm sitting in for Taylor on Blues Journey. He'll be back next week with you and with the listening audience.
Yeah, I might be remote because I'm out of the office on a work next week. At least for that day. Okay. But I'll zoom in. We'll have some fun.
Well, I'm sure he'll cope no matter what he has to do because he's done this a lot. Mm. But yeah, I'm going to be playing the blues for 2 hours. I hope people don't get depressed. If they do, just go outside.
Yeah. Well, could I
feel better?
I don't, you know, not just because I did actually have a blues and jazz show when I was in college on radio.
There you go.
91.1 WRMC, Middlebury College of Vermont.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's
but
great.
But also the blues, I mean, I'm just going to kind of improvise here. Mm-hmm. You know, blues isn't just about bad news. It can be very inspiring, particularly in this age of reckoning with our history, what blues has done, you know, to transform our country and actually roots it in its kind of uncomfortable past. Mm-hmm. So I can be equally, not incensed, saddened by blues and real struggle, and I could also be inspired by it.
Well, a lot of great blues songs are actually inspirational because they're about transcending the difficulties that people face. And I love that about it. I mean, the fact that it intersects with gospel is like one of the reasons I love it, is because it, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is awful. What's going on here? I hear sirens.
Yeah. Cue the sirens.
But then... you know, as somebody's singing something about something difficult in their life, they talk about how they rose above it or how they got past it.
I mean, is this the appropriate time to disclose that I shed tears hearing about Tina Turner's death? I mean, of course, she was 83, but man, yeah. I mean, maybe not pure blues, but just iconic, influential, you know, struggle and perseverance through extraordinary challenge and like truly inspirational.
I mean, reinventing herself decade after decade.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Amazing person. Yeah. She was great. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
probably I'm gonna not actually in the lineup, play a song or two by her.
There you go.
Not at 12:55. I've actually got a Bonnie Raitt song to play at 12:55. Just so you know. So we have a few more minutes. Still nobody writing in, John. It's very. Oh wait. I'm gonna read you something. Carla, thanks for writing in. She says, we love our library. Thanks so much for focusing on this treasure in our community. We all need to recognize how the library provides broad and innovative services and programs. Carla wrote that.
Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Carla.
That's great.
Appreciate it.
I hope you're a frequent flyer of the library. It sounds like you might be.
It sounds like she is, yeah.
And supporter.
Or they are. Yeah, I don't know her pronouns, so I just want to be inclusive.
Yeah. Like the library. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. Right. Very good. Very good. So, Emily, what else? What else do you have to tell us about? Anything? I'll put you on the spot right now here.
Yeah. So I could talk a little bit more about some fun programs that we have happening this summer.
Sure.
So John mentioned Read to a Dog, which is a super popular program for the kids.
What is it?
Read to a Dog.
Read to a dog.
We have, certified therapy dogs.
Oh,
and our director, Melody, actually has one. Her dog's name is Griffin. So she's available some of the time. And then we also have lovely volunteers from Mountain View Pets, and they come in. And so Tuesday afternoons, 1 p.m., the kids can come all summer long and read to these certified therapy dogs. And there's no better listener than a dog. That's a great program.
I love it when they look up at you, like as you're talking, like, are you going to bring me a biscuit? Or are you just going to keep reading?
It's so great for empowerment for young people who need a, you know, just a very happy and low bar satisfaction audience, you know.
Right.
It's, I know that.
No judgment. Instance,
yeah, my daughters really enjoy it. And a shout out to my friend Amy's dog, Bodhi, who's a feature of Read to Rover occasionally. It's been a program that I've heard directly from participants who have said, I really love that program, Reading to Dogs.
I've totally forgotten that it existed, and thank you for reminding me of that. That's great.
Yeah, and I think it's more important now than ever, especially kids struggling with confidence levels, especially post-pandemic. I think creating programs where kids feel safe and feel heard, and then, supported in following their interests and picking out things that are going to be appealing to that individual kid.
Mm. Super.
You could, again, find this on our website. There's so many programs, so many
days. What is the website of PT Public Library?
You can find it off the cityofpt.us. Right. And then the library has, it's a pretty popular site, actually. It's our most popular website.
But isn't it PT Public Library? Is that it?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. ptpubliclibrary.gov or org? See? I put two city employees on the spot here. Let me just look it up.
I don't know that one off the top.
Here's my confession. I usually just go to cityofpt.us, and you can find everything you're looking for, including the link to the library's website.
And those new videos.
Well, I was going to mention that, Jim, because I know we're down to like 2 minutes.
It is ptpubliclibrary.org, just so you know.
Yeah. Not .net.
No,
that's good. That's probably good. So you mentioned videos. It was on my mind. I was going to try to find some clever pivots.
You've got 1 minute. Go.
Yeah, great. So for those who like their information in under 2 minute or 3 minute form by video, we recently started a video series that will launch a video every week for the next 4 weeks. There's one last week, an introductory video.
Which is great.
A minute and 34 seconds. We heard some of it last week. This week, almost right now, I would say, we're getting ready to launch our streets video.
Oh, cool.
And so you can go on there, and in about 3 minutes, you can learn some of the challenges, actually, with our streets, which we all know about, no matter what mode of transportation, and some of what's possible for us to actually get to where we want to get to. So I encourage everybody to go to cityopt.us/videos or our Facebook page, facebook.com, I guess, /cityofpt, mm-hmm. or our YouTube channel, which you can find on our website as well. It's a new YouTube channel, and a shout out to Jess, our public experience liaison, who helped put that together. So,
fantastic. And voiceover by Shelley Levins on the first one.
Voiceover by Shelley, and I don't think it's unfair to reveal that both Steve King, our public works director, and Aislinn Palmer, our city council member, feature in the streets video. Aislinn is the chair of the Infrastructure and Development Committee, and Steve obviously is, you know, ultimately in charge of streets. You can go watch that video and let us know what you think, and share with friends and family, please.
Fantastic. Yeah, and earlier, Derek on the Thursday news mentioned a man who's a local hero, I guess, because he's been filling potholes between the Penny Saver and the co-op with buckets of sand and rock he picks up from the beach.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because that's not necessarily making it, it look better.
I know, and it's not necessarily
more dangerous.
Yeah, the story did point out, though, that there's some confusion as to whether that's private property or abandoned city property. So yeah, there's a little.
Well, I have answers, but we can get to it next week.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
love the intention there.
Right.
But maybe not the best way to fix something. But anyway, we could talk about that next week.
Emily Bufford of the Port Townsend Library, thank you so much for telling us about the summer reading program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and I hope everybody listening comes to see me at the library.
All right. John Morrow, thanks so much for joining me here as co-host. What I have here is called Have a Heart by Bonnie Raitt from Nick of Time.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's see how it goes.